This morning our reading is going to be from Mark chapter 4, if you've got your Bible with you. If not, I'll read it from the New King James. You're all nice. With a smile. We're going to read from the Gospels this morning. It's in the Gospel of Mark, and it's chapter 4. It's a story that we know well. It's the parable of the sower from verse 1 to 20. And Jesus began again to teach by the seaside. And there was gathered before him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the ship on the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed his seed, some fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it up. Some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun came up, it was scorched and burnt, and because it had no root, it withered away. Some fell among thorns. The thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. Others fell on good ground, and did bring forth fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. And he said to them, You that have ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were with him, with the 12 disciples, asked of him the parable. And he said to them, Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto those who are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see, and not perceive it, and hearing they may hear, and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted, and their sins should be forgiven them. And he too said unto them, Do you not know this parable? And how then will you know all parables? The sower sows the word. And those are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. And those are likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they had heard the word immediately received it with gladness, but had no root in themselves, and so last just for a little time afterwards, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And those are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things enter and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And those are those which are sown on good ground, those that hear the word and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100-fold. It's the word of the Lord. I'm going to pray together. Lord, once again, thanks again for giving us your word, which is able to instruct us. And we pray that you'll be with me as we seek to instruct the word. Open our eyes, open our hearts. Leave us to be guided by you. Amen. don't know if you know or not, but the parable of the sower is the first of all the parables of Jesus. In the Gospel of Mark, it is with this parable that Jesus begins his teachings, as you've heard. Not that Jesus had not already taught, but it's the first time that the reader has content with his teaching. A parable, it's a parable. A parable is an image. Jesus recounts a scene from everyday life that they were aware of to talk about something else. A sower goes out to sow, and his grain falls on four areas, some more favourable and some less favourable for the growth of the seed. Jesus tells the short story to tell us about the mysteries of the kingdom of God in verse 11. But not only that, Jesus speaks in parables to announce the word of the gospel to us. In verse 33 of chapter 4, which we didn't read, it was through many such parables that he spoke to them as they were able to hear them. In the story that we have just read, there are several things that strikes me. What strikes you first is that there are two stages in this teaching. The first stage is that of the proclamation or the telling of the parable, and the second stage is the explanation of the story or the parable. Jesus does not have the same listeners from one time to the other. First, there is a huge crowd, and then a smaller circle of people. The smaller circle was made up of the 12 disciples and other people who have come closer to Jesus because they wanted to ask him about the meaning of the parable that they had just heard. They didn't understand anything, so this had intrigued them and they wanted to do more. Why two times? Could he not explain the parable to the whole crowd? What strikes you next is the change of place between the two times that he spoke. The first time he takes place on the shores of the Lake of Galilee. The crowd is on the ground on the beach, and Jesus sits in a boat in the sea to teach them. However, we do not know where the second meeting took place. The only spatial reference is Jesus himself. Even because it is Jesus who people approached. Where is Jesus for the second time? The text does not tell us. Let's go back to the first time of this teaching, when Jesus is on the beach with the crowd. By sitting in the boat and proclaiming his word from there, Jesus says what he says. The sower goes out to sow. The crowd is sitting on the beach. Jesus is sitting on the boat on the sea. In the parable, the seeds fall on the ground as the words of Jesus fall on the crowd who were sitting on the beach. The seeds come from the sower's hand. The word comes from the mouth of Jesus. By sitting on the boat, Jesus takes the place of the sower. Jesus explains to the crowd how the sower scatters his seeds. It shows that the seeds fall on four different types of ground. These four types of ground are a representation of all the possible types of ground that can be encountered. The path or the street, the earth with stones, the earth which has the weeds in it, and of course, the good soil. The sower sows his seed on all of these grounds as Jesus sows his word to all the people who are represented here by the crowd. For sure, Jesus says what he says, but we also see it on the effects that his words provoke on the crowd. as we've said, at the end of his speech on the sea, there's a circle of people who come around him, drawn from the crowd, who want to know more. These people are without question the good soil or the good ground, which has enabled his word to bring forth fruit. And this fruit is a movement to come near to Jesus. All these people are intrigued by what they have just heard. They did not understand the parable. They didn't understand at all. For once, they're close to Jesus, they start to question him about the parable, but they're intrigued. They are arrested by what he said. Questioned without understanding, they advance towards Jesus. That is what can be said from the first part of the story. Jesus says the story to them, but we can also see from the second time of the parable, this is to say when Jesus is alone with the people who came to him. As these people question him about the parable, Jesus said to them, "You have been given the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but for those who are outside, everything is in parables or in riddles." In the second part of the story, we do not know where Jesus is. As I said at the beginning, it is Jesus is the only special reverence that we have. People come to him. It is a destination for people who have heard. If everything happens in parables for those outside, as Jesus says, it means that Jesus and these people are inside. But where did they return to? They returned, or they went into the kingdom of God. The space is where God is king. And inside this space, Jesus teaches them precisely the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And with that, Jesus explains the parable to them. He explains it to them by changing his point of view to concern them direct, or to speak to them directly, because they are concerned as to the answers of the parable. He does not place himself on the sore side as when he addressed the crowd. He places himself with them. He is no longer on the side of the giver of the speech, or the giver of the word, but on the side of the receiver of the speech. In verse 15, he says, "Some are along the way where the word is sown. When they hear it, immediately Satan comes and takes away the word that has been sown in them." That's in verse 15. Jesus takes the side of him who receives the word. Hear the difference with the parable in verse 4. As the sower sowed, part of the seed fell along the way. Jesus stands there on the side of him who sows in verse 4. By the teaching of the crowd and the teaching of those who came to him, Jesus changes his sides. In other words, he is with the people who have heard the word. As I said earlier, those who came to him are the good soil, in inverted commas. When they were on the beach, there are all the different types of ground at the same time when they are all with Jesus. By changing his side, or changing the way he speaks, Jesus shows how the word is received by the people to whom he addresses. And there are still the four terrains at the same time, even when they'd approached Jesus. This is a real mystery of the kingdom of God. But as we think of that, that ties in with our experience. Just because one day we have been converted does not mean that we do not continue to be all the different types of ground at the same time. Even as a child of God, we sometimes do not hear the word. This does not, however, take us out of the kingdom of God. The Christians are not pure, but people who are moved towards Jesus because they heard the word that the sower sowed or made fall on them. We can now wonder why Jesus speaks in parables to outsiders and then explains to the inner circle of people who want to know more. Could he not speak more clearly to people outside of the kingdom of God? The answer, of course, is no. If Jesus speaks in parables, it is to use in a language that is hidden. The French word's an enigmatic type of language, which basically means hidden. Yes, Jesus wishes not to be understood, or rather, he wants to make himself understood only to people who ask him, that is to say, people who come to him. As we have seen, the only people to whom Jesus gives an explanation to the parable are those who came to him closely and asked him. To these people only, something of the mystery of the kingdom is given, not to the others. In fact, Jesus speaks in a hidden way so that humans cannot understand the mystery of God, of the kingdom of God, for themselves. You have noticed that Jesus does everything in the story. It is he who says the parable in front of the crowd, and is he also who gives the explanation. The action of man in this story is close to zero. His only action is to ask Jesus to explain it to him. Jesus does not explain the parable to someone who does not ask him. In fact, the only action of man is to admit that he cannot understand the kingdom of God for himself. The parable, the hidden story, puts man in a position of demand, puts man in a position that he wants to desire God. Listen to the two concluding verses from the story of the parables. In verse 33 and verse 34. First of all, verse 33, it was through many such parables that he spoke to them as they were capable to understand or to hear it. In verse 34, he did not speak to them without a parable, but in particular, he explained everything to his disciples. He explained everything to his disciples. First step, hear. Come close to Jesus and ask Jesus. The second time is to understand because Jesus explains. At no time do the disciples understand for themselves. It is only because Jesus explains to them. I can already hear you say, Jack, we agree with you, but the disciples have always been with Jesus. Jesus had plenty of time to explain everything to them. What about us? In the Gospel, how many parables are there without explanation? I would not say that you're right. Most of the parables that the Gospels have given us have no explanation of Jesus. But know it. Whenever you understood something of the kingdom of God by reading a parable, it is that Jesus himself explained it to you. And if he explained it to you, it is that you asked him without necessarily having consciously formulated the question elsewhere. Perhaps a sigh was enough. The work of a sigh is enough for Jesus to explain. The work of explanation that Jesus did with his disciples Jesus continues with us generation after generation. No man, no woman is able to access the mystery of the kingdom of the mystery of the kingdom by himself or by herself. This mystery will only be given by Jesus, and only when we are in a close relationship with him. This is the reason why a human can only know the mysteries of the kingdom of God by drawing near to Christ. Imagine that we can access the mysteries of the kingdom of God by our own intelligence. God would no longer be the king of this kingdom. If Jesus speaks in parables, it is so that those who have heard something on the beach come close to him to say to him, "Can you explain to me, because I did not understand anything?" What an experience. So if you don't understand a parable, don't rely on your own intelligence. Ask God, and Christ will reveal through the Holy Spirit to you the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Nothing has changed since the Gospels. If the sower sows the word, it is so that his word is heard. "Listen," said Jesus to the crowd. Rather, it should be translated as "hear." That's the first word of his teaching. It shows how important it is to hear. You understand? You understood to hear is not to understand. This story shows it to us well. People who come to Jesus understood the parable no more than the others. On the other hand, their ears tinkled. They heard something. They show it by going to Jesus. But what is this to hear? What is it to hear? To hear is an impulse, a desire towards God, which leads us towards the relationship. Hearing is an impulse that pushes us to go out of ourselves and to discover ourselves by reaching out to others. To hear is to leave what we know, to go to another country. As Abraham left his country and his homeland at the word of the Lord, without knowing where he was going, he left by faith. That's what's important, without knowing where he was going. To hear is to set out on a path on which we will continually ask God to direct us. We're going to continually ask God to direct us on the path that we've started with him. To hear is to let the word act in us, like Matthew, as he was sitting at the receipt of custom in the tax office, which he rises when Jesus says to him, "Follow me." Like the paralyzed man who also got up when Jesus said to him, "Get up." And like Lazarus, the dead man who comes out of the tomb when Jesus said to him, "Lazarus, come forth." Satan, stones, weeds, these are only our fears and our sufficiency that prevents the word from acting in us. The sower is come out to sow. Let he who has ears to hear, hear. Amen. We are going to pray. Lord, thank you for speaking us today in a parable. Thank you for hiding the mysteries of God from our own intelligence. The poor, which are us, which have got to come to you and to ask you, and we ask you today because we understand nothing. We know that everything comes from you. It's you who proclaims the parable, and it is you who gives the answers. Lord, open our ears so that we can come close to you, can listen to you and hear you explaining all to us as you did with the disciples. Listen to your word. Have complete dependence on you. How many times have we refused to depend on you and have taken our own independence? How many times have we gone away from you? Help us to forgive us for moving from you, and help us to understand what you want us to hear. If we come close to you, it's because you love us. Give us the help to day after day to take your hand that you're offering to us. Work. Help us to, that your word might be in us, like the paralyzed man, like Matthew who heard the word, like Lazarus who heard the word and came out of the tomb at your word. Open our ears that we might live with you and live with you. In the name of Christ, amen.